And these two young fellows here, I appreciate y'all being in the class, and I hope it's something be said here this morning that you can use in your spiritual life. And that's all our aim is here, is to build people up in the spirit of Word of God, rightly divided according to the instructions that we have from the Lord through the Apostle Paul, that we study the Word of God and rightly divide it as we study it. All the Bible is written for us, but not all to us. And Romans to Philemon is written for us, rightly divided. And when we rightly divide Romans to Philemon, we also separate out from Genesis to Malachi, and the message that Jesus Christ came for Israel, which we'll find in Romans to Philemon, and you'll find the Hebrew epistles over here after the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. And the only people that are in the body of Christ are those that believe that when Christ died at Calvary, He paid for their sins, and they are trusting that and that alone for their salvation. And when they trusted Christ, when He died at Calvary, died for their sins, the Holy Spirit will baptize you into the body, and this is the church, which is His body. In other words, this church was not made known back in the Old Testament. It was not made known in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, there is a church which is called the church in the wilderness. There is a church that Jesus Christ said in Matthew, that in Matthew 16, He said, upon this rock, Jesus Christ is the rock, He said, I will build my church. The Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and gave him a dispensation in here that's called mystery. In other words, there's some things that were hidden in the scriptures back here that those that Paul first preached to, they could find their salvation in the scriptures back here. But when Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he wrote Ephesians to some people that were not in the covenants of promise. And he told us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, rightly divide the word of truth. And when you divide out Paul's epistles, you also have to divide it out from the Bible. When the rapture takes place, there'll be a 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the tribulation. It's 3.5 good years and 3.5 bad years. Right in the middle of it, things change over here. But the church, the body of Christ, which we are members of, if you're baptized by the Spirit into this church, no water, you will go out at the rapture. The Lord will meet us in the air, and then we'll be with the Lord forevermore. And then the Antichrist can be revealed, and the Lord will go dealing with Israel again over here. Genesis, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all Old Testament. You understand? In most all your Bibles, you'll find a division between Malachi and Matthew, and they'll say this is New Testament. Not so. New Testament will not be made until the second coming, when the Lord returns over here to set up His kingdom. He'll have a new covenant. The old covenant will be done away with. In here, there is no law as far as Mosaic law is concerned. There is no covenant. You understand? We're not new covenant saints. Now, you'll find a lot of churches that call themselves new covenant churches, but they're wrong. They are not in the new covenant. The new covenant will not be made, according to the book of Hebrews, until after the tribulation. And God said, this is my covenant unto them, Israel, when I will take away their sins. Our sins have already been taken care of at Calvary. God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. He, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we that trusts that, and I'm telling you what it means, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law. In other words, now listen, this don't give us a license to live like hell. This just tells the truth of why Christ died at Calvary, that when he died at Calvary, the Mosaic law was nailed to the cross and done away with. In other words, in the book of Galatians, Paul said, if you're trying to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. This is the dispensation of grace in here. Now, we started a couple weeks ago studying about Peter's message versus Paul's message. Paul wrote Romans to Philemon, 13 books. Peter is the apostle that Jesus Christ sent, and there's 11 other apostles with him, to Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them in Matthew 10, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Any city of Samaritans, enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now this morning, we want to continue studying prophecy versus mystery. Peter preaches prophecy. Paul preaches mystery. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But first, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for the time that we have here this morning to study your word. And Father, we ask you to teach us your word by your spirit and to build us up in the faith. And Father, we ask you this morning to be with those that are sick. We ask you to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, we pray for this family, that the loss of this loved one, that you be with them and comfort them as they go through this trial. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And first, in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching, and I'll go over two or three verses here with you to prove to you through the Bible who Peter is preaching to. In Acts 2, and in this, by the way, this is the day of Pentecost, which is a Jewish holiday. It has to do with the Jews. It does not have to do anything with Gentiles in this dispensation. This is Jewish time. Now, Acts 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken. In other words, there's 12 men, all Galileans, they received the power of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and languages. They did not speak in a gibberish language like you hear today, somebody running up and down the aisle shouting some kind of words. They spoke in languages, and there were 16, if you go back and study Acts 2 from verse 1 through to where you're at here, you'll find that there were 16 different nations of people there, and every one of them heard them 12 Galileans speak in their language. They understood what they said. Now, these were unlearned fishermen, and these people here are questioning what they just heard and saw. And Peter said in verse 15, for these are not drunken as you suppose, but seeing is but the third hour of the day. Verse 16 now, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he's going to quote out of the book of Joel, chapter 2. Now, hold what you got and go to Joel, chapter 2. If you got Matthew, back up to your left. You'll have Isaiah, coming from the front through Ezekiel to Daniel to Hosea. If you go to Matthew, back up going through Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, and through your minor prophets, back to Joel. Joel will be one of your minor prophets. All right, everybody got Joel chapter 2. All right, let's look at verse 27. The prophet Joel speaking. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, the Lord. This will be when he comes again over here. It's the second coming. And ye shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Now listen to me. Listen real carefully. Whenever you hear in the 1611 King James Bible, my people, it is always a reference to Israel. It is never a reference to me or you. It's always a reference to Israel. Now we know the Lord's in the midst of Israel over here. Now, verse 28. Now, this is where Peter is quoting from in Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward, after the Lord has returned, at his second coming over here, not his first coming, at his second coming. Verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in heaven and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be darkened. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. That will be at the second coming. You know how you know this is the second coming? It's right here in the same chapter. Look at verse 23. Be glad, ye children of Zion. That's the children of Israel. Joel 2, 23. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down to you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. That is the first and second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Hosea, back up to your left. Go to Hosea chapter 6. See, I know by comparing. This is why we have a Bible study class, beloved. So you can know your Bible as God wants you to know it. So you won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that's out there, because there are people out there having the wool pulled over their eyes this morning by some charlatan that is too lazy to rightly divide the word of truth and show his people, because he's afraid he'll lose his grip on them and they won't come back next Sunday and bring their billfold. And that ain't why we're here. We're here to show you what God wants you as an individual to know and can know by studying the Word of God rightly divided. You understand? All right. Now, how do I know he's talking about the second coming in Joel? I'm going to compare spiritual things now. I'm in Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us, as in the tribulation over here. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. And how many times in the religious church have I sung the song, revive us again? It ain't got nothing to do with doctrine of truth today. It has to do with Israel being revived again over here, as in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20, the Lord shall grow out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob, and he'll do that over here in the tribulation. That's what this time is for, is for Israel to return to the Lord over here, not in here. This Israel's time over here to return to the Lord. Now, verse 2, after 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall you know, if you follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he, the Lord, we're talking about the Lord, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Go back to Joel chapter 2. Verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, that's Israel, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. This has to do with the first and second coming. He will come to us as the early rain and as the former rain. You understand? You got to have rain before you prepare the land to sow it. And then after it's coming up, you got to have some more rain to nourish it until it's full. Y'all know the drought situation about in the middle out there where they grow the corn and all that. The corn crops is just wilting away. They claim right now the drought is worse out there right now than it was during the Great Dust Bowl. That's bad. That's been several years ago, before most of all our time. None of us probably were not here during the Dust Bowl, were you? You wasn't here, were you, Dave? I wasn't here either myself. And I'm getting on up in age, and I wasn't here during the Dust Bowl. Now, watch what he says in Joel 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. In other words, you got the first and second coming. Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go to Acts 2. That's what Acts 2 is about. Israel rejected the king. They rejected their Messiah. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. Matthew 26, he said, his blood be on us and on our children. And it has been ever since. Now, in Acts 2, Peter is preaching mystery. Excuse me. Peter is preaching prophecy. We just read some prophecy. This is that which the prophet Joel said. I hope I apologize. I should have told you the whole Joel, because we're going to compare what Joel said with versus what Peter said. Now, Acts chapter 2. Verse 16. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit. Do you see the word of? Hold your place there. Go back to Joel chapter 2. Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. Now flip back to Acts 2, verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. Do you see the word of in there? Well, the word of ain't in Joel, is it? So have we got a bad translation here? No. Peter is led by the Holy Spirit to misquote Joel. Do you know why? God already told Jesus Christ, told Peter in Matthew 16, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So in quoting Joel, he put of in there. God didn't say of back here. When God is in the midst of Israel, all people will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not so in here. Do you know who was baptized with? And don't listen to me. Don't think for 1 minute that there's any such term in Acts chapter 2 or Acts 28, anywhere in the book of Acts, baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is no such term in the King James Bible. Baptized with the Spirit. Go back to Acts 2. In Acts 2 verse 4. In Acts 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were not baptized with the baptism of the Spirit. There's no such term in the King James Bible. Now, go back to Acts 2, verse 17 again. Prophecy. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, you can study the book of Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, all the way up to Acts 15, where Peter's involved, and you will not find any women or any children speaking in tongues. Y'all know what tongues are for? For a sign. Tongues are for a sign. Who requires signs? The Jews require signs. You go back here and study when Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and God said, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, well, they ain't going to believe me. He said, he gave them 10 signs to perform back there for these people to see. The Jews require signs. Gifts of healing, helps, and governments, and tongues, knowledge, and all of that are for signs for Israel. You will find Paul doing signs and wonders in the book of Acts as long as the Jew is involved. But when the Jew is lo and nigh, you find Paul no more having any power to do any kind of healing or any kind of signs. Now, Acts 2, one more time, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit. Peter was led by the Holy Spirit to put the word of in there, and it's not quoted. If he'd have quoted Joel as it was written, that where God said it, then it would have had to come to pass, and God knowing us, the body of Christ, before the foundation of the world, led Peter to misquote it. You understand? So the only people that were baptized with the Spirit here were 12 Galileans. Okay? Now, this is part of prophecy. Go to Acts chapter 3. Peter still preaching. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now that ain't what Paul told us. Alright, you can hold in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go there. Hold Acts 3. We're going to Go back to Acts 3 in just a minute. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world to come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which was ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is the mystery that he's talking about? That Christ had died for these people's sins according to the scriptures. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because the terminology is not the same as that in Acts chapter 3, and we're fixing to compare that right now. Listen, if you got a question, let's stop and talk about it. This ain't no brainwashing ceremony here. I'm not trying to win you over on my side. All I'm trying to do is to show you what God says.
What verse are you talking about in chapter 2,
verse
1?
1 Corinthians chapter 2 starts in verse 6. Look at it. We'll go back over it again. Ain't no problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6, he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now the perfect there is only in salvation. Okay? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that comes to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Okay? Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. Lord.
That's perfect in Christ, right?
Yeah, in Christ.
Right.
And not in the flesh.
Yeah.
Not in the flesh. No, we ain't perfect in the flesh. No.
Okay.
That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Why? That we be not in about what they were willing to doctrine. In the flesh, we can turn away from all of this. We can deny all this, but you see, you can't deny me. Once you trust Christ as your personal Savior, oh, this is so beautiful. Now, that's part of the mystery that nobody knew of anything about here. They knew back here, if they broke the law, it was condemnation. People in here, some people still don't know there ain't no condemnation to you if you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. But why? You're baptized into the body and you're sealed until the day of redemption. You can't lose your salvation. That's a blessing. That's the only people in the world, in God's world, that have that blessing. The rest of them have to endure to the end. They got to do this, got to do that. They got to repent, change their mind, do all this. Over here, they got to resist the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, and endure to the end to get into the kingdom. Right here, all you got to do is trust in Jesus Christ when he died at Calvary, did it all for you. And you can't do nothing to add to it. It's done. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's just like, well, I ain't no need trying to make no example of it. The thing stands on its own ground. It's a done deal. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15 and Acts 2, that's a comparison. Excuse me, Acts 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you, what? Are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. And Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Did Paul say, if you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, that someday you may be saved? What did he say? By which you are saved. Go back to Acts 3, and according to prophecy, that ain't got nothing to do with what Peter said. Now look what Peter said, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he, the Lord, shall send Jesus Christ, who was preached before unto you. And you can find that in 1 and 2 Peter, where Peter wrote to them about the coming of the Lord over here, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of what? All his holy prophets. Is that prophecy? Is it?
Yes.
Well, sure it is. Hold your place here and go with me to Luke 24. Go with me to Luke 24. It's exactly what Jesus preached to the apostles after he was resurrected. And he said unto them, Luke 24, verse 33, I didn't tell you. I apologize. Luke 24, verse 33. And he said unto them, do you know who the them is?
11.
You don't say it, please, first.
What I tell y'all? Luke 24, verse 44. Ain't that what it says? I know that I was getting old on the people. Man. Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, do y'all know who the them is? You see, it's important who's speaking and who are they speaking to. So studying your Bible, you got to know who is talking and who is he talking to. Is he talking to them? Is he talking to them, I come? In the first book, whatchamacallit, church? Well, if I look back to verse 33, I can find out who he's talking to. Look at verse 33. And as they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, that's the 11 apostles, Judas Iscariot has went and hung himself, and he has not been replaced, and he does not get replaced until Acts chapter 1. And the lot falls on Matthias. You understand? They prayed and asked the Lord to show who, and whoever that was had to be a follower from the baptism of John. And did light just come on? Did y'all see that? Boy, thank you, Lord. I remember we was in New Brunswick, Texas, and we was had a Bible conference out there at Jerry Lockhart. There was a man preaching on the blindness of Israel. The lights went out. Total dark. I'm thinking, boy, Lord, you're right on time here. Man's preaching about the blindness of Israel. You turn the lights out. And the preacher looked at Jerry, or I reckon he looked at him, I couldn't see. He asked Jerry, he said, Jerry, what must I do now? And I like to went through the chair. I'm saying, listen, man, you're preaching on the blindness of Israel. The Lord turned the lights out so you can show them what blindness is, and you don't know what to do. Well, the man don't preach anymore. He quit. He didn't quit because of that, but later on he quit. God gives you an opportunity. That light got bright so you can see. So I want you to see something here. In Luke 24, verse 33, and he arose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Verse 44, he said unto them, those that were with the 11 apostles, okay? He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now you can go back here and you can start in Genesis and come all the way through to Malachi and find out about the Lord. You can find out about his first coming. You can find out how he's coming into Jerusalem. You can find out who he's coming to. You can find out how long he's going to be here. You can find out that he kept the law on the eighth day of his birth, that he was circumcised, that the law of Moses was kept. He's still under the Old Testament law. You can find out he was going to go to Calvary. You can find out back here how long he's going to be in the heart of the earth, 3 days and three nights. You can find out he'll be resurrected, send back up. You can find out about the Antichrist. You can find out about the seven-year tribulation. And you can find out about the second coming and the kingdom. But you can't find out nothing about the body of Christ. I'll challenge you, and I'll pay you any amount you want if you can show me anywhere in the Old Testament or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where he tells anybody about the body of Christ. You want to get rich? Show me. I'll give you everything that's in my pocket right now if you can stand up right now and show me anywhere where they said anything about the church, the body of Christ. You know why? It's a mystery. It ain't in prophecy. Peter preached prophecy. Prophecy. Now, what did he tell these people? Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you know what they knew? We'll go to Acts chapter 1 with me. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 1. He's talking to the apostles. Verse 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Y'all know what they knew? Where were they to begin? Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. He's talking to the apostles. He just told them in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, any city of Samaritans, any or not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, he told them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, on and on and on. Now, in verse 20. Go to verse, well, I can't do that. Go to verse 16. I'll just have to go back to where it starts. Verse 16. Behold, I send you forth, the 12, okay? I send you forth in the midst of wolves. Be you there, excuse me, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council. They will scourge you in the synagogue. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Not going to Gentiles, but against the Gentiles, you understand? Now, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child. Children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, now here's your verse, flee you to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Who's talking to him? The Son of Man's talking to him. So he's talking about a second coming over here. So Luke 24 verse 47 said that repentance and remission shall be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Well, they know over here they're not going to get over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. You understand? Now, you know what that does? Y'all got anything in your mind what it does?
Go
to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Verse 14, Mark 16, 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. In other words, there's some people saw him when he was resurrected, went over there and told the apostles, and they had to see. The Jews require what? A sign. They got to see. We walk by faith. Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by signs. Don't be worried about what man says about the rumors of wars and commotions and all that. Jesus Christ said, these are the beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet. The end won't come until over here after the tribulation. Tribulation can't start while the church, the body of Christ, is here. We got to be taken out of here before the wrath can come. That's why water baptism is so important in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these knuckleheads and dumb bunnies that preach water baptism today are out of the will of Almighty God. I don't care who they are. If it's the Pope or Billy Graham or Dr. Snodgrass or who, if they water baptize, they are out of the will of God, because Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Peter said, Jesus sent me to baptize. Now watch what he says there. Verse 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with the unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after it was written. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Hold the fort. Got a problem. Did the Lord tell Peter to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature?
Yes, sir.
He did that, didn't he?
Later on.
Well, why did he tell them begin at Jerusalem, and he said you won't have gone over the cities of Jerusalem until the Son of Man be come? Begin at Jerusalem. Go back to Acts chapter 1. This is the marching orders. You know, when I was in the Marines, they trained us to follow directions. And if you didn't follow directions, you might be out yonder by yourself and the rest of the men over here, and you ain't got no help. So you learn to follow directions. Do we? Watch what he says here, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. All Jerusalem. Then Judea. Then Samaria. Then the uttermost parts of the world. How were they to go? Jerusalem first. All Jerusalem get saved. Did all Jerusalem get saved?
No,
they didn't. So Peter knows that the marching orders have been changed. When I was in the Marines, they was training us. We was fixing to go to the North Pole. We were going to do some cold winter exercises up there. Learn how to fight in frigid below zero weather. Before we boarded ship in the Suez, them folks are still fighting over there right now today, sunk a bunch of ships over there, blocked the Suez. They changed our orders. They had to change our apparel that we wore. We were geared up to go to the frozen area. We are now going over into this hot desert area, so we had to gear up different. They sent us over yonder to shut that mess up, and I reckon they should have left us alone and let us went in and took care of all that, maybe we wouldn't be over there fighting today. I don't know. Neither here nor there. But you've got to pay attention. Peter, start in Jerusalem. When all Jerusalem's saved, go to Judea. When all Judea's saved, go to Samaria. Y'all do know he told them in Matthew chapter 10, go not in the way of the Gentiles, any city of the Samaritans. Well, that's already changing here, ain't it? Well, you see, when the Lord changed the thing, we got to pay attention to it. So they knew, according to his instructions in Matthew 10, that they wouldn't get over Jerusalem until the Son of Man would come again. So in here, they're going to start in Jerusalem. They know, listen to me, they know without a shadow of a doubt, according to prophecy, that they ain't going to get through Jerusalem till the Son of Man's coming. And he's going to put a stop to all that fighting over yonder. You know why? He's going to rule with a raw arm. Now, let's go back to Paul's situation here. Go back to Romans chapter 1 and take Acts. Yeah, we'll do that. Let's take off. Let's go to Romans 1 and let's see what we do then. I was going to go to Acts 13, but there ain't no need in that. We'll go to Romans chapter 1. And I tell you what, do take 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll do that. That'll clear it up, maybe. 1 Peter chapter 2. Romans chapter 1. You see why I say you have to rightly divide Paul's epistles. This is one of the issues. Why, if you don't rightly divide Paul's epistles, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And Romans is right after the book of Acts, if you have a problem with Romans in. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. You understand? Jew first. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2.
1 Peter.
Sorry? What did I tell y'all long ago? Oh, I ain't got no sin. I can't show you that in paper. Paper didn't know nothing about this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, in 1 Timothy, Peter's writing to them people over there that they are royal priesthood in the holy nation. This is the church of body. In which if you do study 1 Peter and 2 Peter, Peter writes to the strangers that are scattered abroad, and that ain't us. He writes to those Jews that are looking for salvation at the second coming, according to 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 2, 9, he says, you are a royal priesthood and holy nation, which matches Genesis chapter 19. God separated Israel out and called them a holy nation, a royal priesthood. But they turned from God. He rejected them in Matthew 21. He took the kingdom from them and gave it to a little flock in Luke 12. And the little flock starts with the 12 apostles. And that's those over here that Peter's writing to in 1 and 2 Peter over here. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and Romans 1 again. Romans 1. You don't have to turn there. I'll tell you what it said. Romans 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. 1 Peter chapter 2.
Timothy.
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Thank you, David. The verse, the who there is a reverence to God our Savior, verse 3, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now listen, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in early Acts, Jesus Christ was not having all men to be saved. They were going to the Jews only in here. In Acts 11:19, those that were scattered upon the persecution of Stephen travailed as far as Phoenicia and other places, and they are preaching to none but the Jews only. Paul said, the Jew first, those who first trusted in Christ, the Jew first, but not so when he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, and in the last several epistles, God would have all men to be saved. Paul was not going to all men in the book of Acts. He was going to those that were in the synagogue, and when he became a prisoner in Acts 22, after that, he wrote to us as a prisoner for us Gentiles. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to say something to you. There's some brochure over yonder, and I put brochures out there sometimes, and there's a little bit of difference in them, and I don't change them. I just let you study them, and I ain't heard nobody yet make a comment about one of them that's over there. And that lets me know somebody ain't studying according to some of that stuff. Something wrong in one of them. Which is, it's not wrong, but it's just not clear. I put it that way. It's not very clear. It could be confusing if you don't understand what's going on. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I follow the prison of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. In other words, the dispensation of the grace of God was given to us that were not in the covenant of promise. You understand? Now, these are in the grace of God. They're saved by grace. But we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. There's a difference. This is called the gospel of God, Romans chapter 1. It is by grace through faith. This over here is a grace in the dispensation of grace, and Paul is a prisoner for us. Now, watch what he says here. This thing here. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Come to verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is that mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. Gentiles that are not in the covenant of promise. Had no hope, no way to get to God. Paul preached the mystery of the gospel, that when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for us. Now listen, this mystery here was hid in the scriptures. You understand? Romans 16, 25 and 26. This was hid in the scriptures. This here, mystery here, was hid in God. Look at it. Ephesians 3, verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And that is what is in that brochure on that table. If you don't know what he's talking about, it could be confusing to you. Anybody know which one I'm talking about? The one over there says a few comparisons. And in other words, it compares Acts 2 with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. That ain't quite right. Acts 2 is compared with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and Romans 16, that which was hid in the scriptures. Paul, when he first started preaching, the mystery was not trying to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. You know why? Paul himself didn't even know it. Paul himself did not know that God was going to send him far hence to Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise. He didn't learn that till Acts 18. And when he told them that in Acts 22, he became a prisoner for us Gentiles. You understand? So there's a mystery in the mystery. And it still remains a mystery even among a lot of our grace preachers. Do not understand that. And if you take a stand on it like I do, and the reason I take a stand on it is because that's what God told me as part of my ministry. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid where? Look at it, verse 9. Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Not in the scriptures. Hid in God. And it was revealed to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18 when Paul was in the temple. This here revelation that the Lord appeared to Paul was on the road to Damascus. This here was in the temple when he was in the temple. The Lord appeared unto him and told him, said, get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to receive your word concerning me. I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. Gentiles he'd been going to for years. No, Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. These were in the covenants of promise. Those who first trusted in Christ. These here, such as us, are not in the covenants of promise. I can't go back in there. In the Old Testament or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and show you your salvation if you had $1 million to give me if I could show it to you. I couldn't show it to you. Not legally. Not legally. Because it's being done illegally today among a lot of the preachers. Prophecy and mystery are not the same. Peter is not the apostle that we follow today. Paul is the apostle that we follow. Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. My time's up. I ain't through. Don't ever get through. I appreciate you being here, all of you. It's good to see you. Lord willing, the rapture don't take place. We'll be back next Sunday. We always had ours 5 minutes back so we could get out early. I didn't know people would come to work and set it backwards.
I put a new battery in it the other day and I thought I set it, but for some reason it's an off.
Well, we'll go by mine to start and stop by that one. How about that? All right, anybody got anything you want to say before we get started this morning? I appreciate you being here this morning. Y'all won't have to be quiet now because this man records some of this and everything you say, it'll be in the middle of it, okay? All right. And if you can't be quiet, I'm going to make you go sit with your mama. Okay? All right. Anything else?
I have something to say. We when we started coming here, we was uneasy. But now we, enjoy coming.
Well, we appreciate you coming.
It's a blessing. We have been a blessing to us.
Well, I appreciate y'all being here. And what my job is to teach anybody that comes the truth of the Word of God right into that. And that's our only interest of being here.
Right.
If it wasn't for that, we could go. Yeah, I know y'all passed a bunch of churches to get here.
Yeah.
You could go most anywhere you wanted to go to church. Mm-hmm. But like I told somebody last Sunday, I believe, well, this is a Bible study class. Yeah. Y'all ever remember being in school, some of y'all? Yeah. I vaguely remember. in a class. If your teacher or whoever is presenting a subject or something and you didn't understand it, what did you do?
Hold your hand.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't quite understand that. That's what we're here for. We're not here to dictate. I'm not here to send you any kind of over to my side or anything. All I want to do is show you why we meet here. And why the Lord Jesus Christ died for them. If you you ain't going to get a lot of that in these denominational churches. I don't care which one you go to. You'll get a form of it, of godliness, but you won't get the truth of it. And if there's one thing I've learned in the years that I've been trying to teach and preach or whatever you call it, God does not lie. And if he don't lie, I'm not going to lie for him. So I got to stand in judgment someday for what I say and what I teach you, and I better know what I'm doing. If I don't know it, sometimes you may ask me a question and I may not have an answer, but the next time I see you, I will have an answer. You can count on that, if there's an answer in the Bible for your question. Okay, I appreciate that. Appreciate y'all being here.